BGMC. The biblical truth lives here.
We are living in a time like no other in history, but fortunately for us, God wrote it down all in His prophecies what would happen next. Find out what prophecies came true this week, ripped straight from the headlines. Verily I say unto you, the only way to rightly understand prophecy is from a messianic Hebrew roots perspective, for without the roots, the tree is dead. Stay tuned for the Prophecy News headline show, The Remnant's Call.
Let's get ready for The Remnant's Call, the Sledgehammer Show, where prophecy, politics, religion, the straight truth come through to your device that you're watching us on or listening to us on. Tonight's show is Sledgehammer Show number 433, Founded on Truth. We're going to be talking about what happened yesterday with the 4th of July. We're going to be talking about the founding fathers and the people that really put their lives on the line, everything on the line, so that they could worship God freely and then have the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everybody had that opportunity. Let me introduce myself to you. I'm Rav Hanun Ben Moishev from Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation, a place where Jew and Gentile worship Yeshua the Messiah as one people, following the Word of God from Genesis through to the Book of Revelation. Come out to 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue Extension in Lexington, North Carolina. You can check out our website, bgmctv.org, bgmctv.org. Come out any Saturday, that's Shabbat, at 11 a.m. for worship, the news, and the Word, and fellowship. We really focus on the Word of God, and you don't have to be Jewish to be with us. You just have to have a heart for seeking the truth or want to know the truth. If you'd like to let us know whether you love or hate the Sledgehammer Show, send an email to info@thesledgehammershow.com. That's info@thesledgehammershow.com. We put our show on many places, Brighteon, YouTube, Rumble, all different places that put the Word of God. Check us out. Subscribe to our pages at rumble.com/BGMCTV, youtube.com/BGMCTV. And you can check out any of the other sites there. Just let us know. Subscribe to our pages and give us a thumbs up. And if you'd like to support the Sledgehammer Show, send a check or money order to Beth Goyim. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. 800 West 3rd Avenue Extension in Lexington, North Carolina. Once again, this week I'm joined by my good friend and colleague, Mr. Ben Jimenez, Mr. Jimenez himself. We're going to be really talking about some beautiful things, and as we always start out our show with, we start out with the Word of God first. We're going to look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 16 and 17. Therefore, here's what Jehovah Elohim says. Look, I'm laying in Zion a tested stone, a costly cornerstone, a firm foundation stone. He who trusts will not rush here and there. I'll make justice the measuring line and righteous the level. Then hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and waters will overflow the secret place. So what we're talking about tonight is a tested cornerstone, a tested cornerstone. And what we need to really look at is the Word of God. You can have many different things that you try out, but what is a firm foundation stone is the Word of God. It has been perfect from the day it was written, from the day He put it into every cell of our body. And look at that verse 16 again. Therefore, here's what Jehovah Elohim says. That's the Father. Look, I am laying in Zion a tested stone, a costly cornerstone, a firm foundation stone. He who trusts will not rush here and there. You know, we got a lot of shifting stones in the world, a lot of different players going on and stuff like that. But what we really need to look at is that foundation stone. What is your foundation stone? Ben, can you speak to this a little bit on, you know, you were, you know, you've talked about growing up as a pagan, then a Christian, then finding the real true way. How did you know what the real foundation stone was?
Well, as a child, I was brought up Catholic, and in Catholic school, some way I knew that we weren't supposed to pray to Mary, and I used to get in trouble because I would never do the Hail Mary, and they would ask me why, and I said because it's not in the Bible. I didn't know how I knew that, but I left the Catholic Church. I started the journey through Christianity. I left Catholicism and went to Pentecostal Church. And there, for some odd reason, I was never satisfied in any church because it was like there was something missing. I didn't know what that something was until one day, working in Newark Airport, I lost the Port Authority radio, which communicates with all the airports in the metro area up in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and I ran to get to look for it, and I tripped over a stainless steel threshold. And I dislocated my shoulder. I thought I dislocated it. I actually tore my rotator cuff. So, long story short, I was out of work for so many months after I got surgery, and I was like, what am I supposed to do? You know, sitting at home doing nothing, what am I gonna do to entertain myself? So, I've always been a big Bible believer, so I said, well, let me read the Bible. So I started reading the Bible. And the Bible kept speaking out to me, the Sabbath, and that word right there sparked my curiosity. So I started looking throughout the whole Bible, and I saw that the Sabbath is mentioned so many times. I believe it's like over 146 times in the King James, something like that. And one Sunday I went to church and I asked the pastor, I said, I have a question. Who changed the Sabbath from, you know, the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday? He couldn't give me an answer. So I went home and started looking and researching. And to my surprise, but back then I was so upset because I felt like I've been lied to my whole life. So I prayed to God and I asked God, I said, you know, where can I go where they'll teach the truth and they still believe in your son? And years before, I had remembered seeing a little group of people inside Shushan Park in Union City, and I was heading to a meeting for Herbalife. It was on a Saturday, and invited. I was like, no, I gotta. And I went. So I started looking for you for this church. It was actually you, and I couldn't find it. Then all of a sudden, I put down Messianic Congregation in Fairview, and Beth Goim popped up. So when I got to Beth Goim, I was greeted by one of the elders there, Isabel, and I sat down, and somehow it was like God's spirit agreed with my spirit that I was home. And those were the very words that came out of my mouth. I'm home. And ever since then, it's been a long, arduous journey, you know, learning and unlearning all that I was, you know, taught before, all the lies I had to unlearn, and I had to learn the truth. And knowing that I had actually stumbled on the truth, which is Yeshua and the Torah, the Tanakh, and the Brit Hadashah, it revealed it actually revealed what I've been looking for my whole life, which was the truth. And I've been at Beth Goyim ever since. I believe we're going on, 8, 9 years, something like that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Because what you found is you found the foundation stone. Because you can't have a tree without the earth. You can't have a tree grow. You can't have a home or anything like that without the foundation stone. And that's what we're going to be talking about in tonight's show. I wanted you to hear a little bit of Ben's testimony. Because, you know, when you're looking for truth, you're going to know it when you find it. That's really because God is, he's everywhere, but when you know the truth, it says the truth will set you free. But you're going to, and that's why I bring up this next scripture that we're going to have up on the screen for everybody to read. In the book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, we look at verse 16 and 17. Because this is what the founding people of this nation of America really did. No other nation has done it besides Israel. So you look at this, and this is one of the bad things that Israel did. And it's one of the things that America chose in the beginning. It says, here's what Jehovah says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask about the ancient paths. Which one is the good way? Take it and you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not take it. I appointed sentinels to direct them. Listen for the sound of the shofar. But they said, we will not listen. So what we're looking at here, and it's really important because the founding fathers, I'm going to bring up a lot of quotes from the founding fathers, being that the 4th of July was yesterday. A lot of young people. I was surprised when I was doing the research that how many people that signed the Declaration of Independence, that they were in their 30s. These were not old people. These were people beginning life and understanding. But they chose to look at the ancient path, and they said for America. And they were willing to put their lives on the line. They were willing to put their livelihood on the line. And if they lost, they were going to be put in jail forever. And you didn't want to be put in these type of jails. You know, the jails today are nothing compared to what you had no rights when you went to jail. So what we look at here, it's very important, is looking at the ancient paths, okay, and choosing which one. And it says you'll find rest for your souls. One of the things I think that we really noticed a lot in America right now is the great unrest. The great unrest that's going on. There's no shalom. There's no peace. Okay? And it's because we're choosing a bad road. And this was not the way it was in the beginning. Okay? Now, how did this all start? King George III ruled the largest empire that planet Earth had ever seen. The Declaration of Independence was signed July 4th, 1776. It listed 27 reasons why the Americans declared their independence from the 38-year-old king. Okay, I had not realized that King George III was so young, you know, 38 years old, and he had the largest empire on the planet. And many of the founding fathers were fathers, but they were young men also. And they listed 27 reasons that we're not going to go over right now. We're going to go over more what the founding fathers said. But look at this. 56 signers sacrificed their property, their prosperity, and their posterity. Of the signers, 11 had lost their homes that were destroyed. 5 were hunted and captured. 17 served in the military. 9 died during the war. Now, they made this document that still is one of our most beautiful documents next to the Bible. I think this is one of the most beautiful beautiful written documents on the planet. And in the Declaration of Independence, and I say to you, you should all read it, okay? It says, it had 4 times that it refers to God. It says the law of nature and nature's God. All men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Third one, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. So nature's God, the creator, supreme judge of the world. Okay, so anybody who says that there's a separation between church and state doesn't understand what they're saying, okay? That the state should not sponsor any religion, okay? That you can worship the way you wanted to, because each state was founded slightly different. They believed in God, and you should read your state constitution, the original state constitution of any state that you're living in, because most state constitutions say that you have to believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to be a senator or a congressperson in that state or the governor. And the last one, it says, in the support of this declaration with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, or meaning for us, the kingdom, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and sacred honor. So it's very important to look at that. I'm going to do one more and then I'll bring Ben back. Senator Daniel Webster, and you might know his book called The Webster's Dictionary, stated in 1802, miracles do not cluster, and what has happened once in 6,000 years may not happen again. Hold on to the Constitution, for the American Constitution, for if the American Constitution should fail, there would be anarchy throughout the world. Man, is that happening today? And he said this in 1802. Senator Daniel Webster said this, Ben, in 1802, that if the American Constitution or America should fail, that there would be anarchy throughout the world. That's what we're looking at right now. What do you think about this, you know, the founding document, the Declaration, Ben? Or what do you think about what Daniel Webster said here? What's your take on Webster or the Declaration of Independence?
Well, the Declaration of Independence is you know, by far the second most beautiful document ever created in history, all time, for that matter. The fact that, you know, the founding fathers were, you know, God-fearing in their own right, says a lot, because for them to have, you know, I can just imagine when they got together and they were going over the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, how they would fervently pray before each meeting to seek out God's guidance, you know. And that's something that we have lost in the annals of time, is the actual seeking God's direction in anything that we do, in every meeting, in every, you know, revision of our documents, in the amendment process to the Constitution, to the Bill of Rights. You know, all this was created, you know, with the fact that God is in favor of justice and righteousness, is what led them to create this document, or these documents, for our benefit, so that this way we could freely worship God. But what we have, the point that we have come up to, is that because a certain few can't stand another few worshiping God, they try to eliminate it. They try to eliminate it so that this way they don't feel offended, because the light that shines in the darkness doesn't comprehend it. You know, it says it in, I believe it's in John, You know, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, in King Jimmy terms. But, you know, the Constitution, I strongly believe, was created with the Bible in mind. You know, God is a righteous God, and He wants us to prosper spiritually, to gain spiritual maturity, and to bear much fruit. And the only way that we can do that is by putting God first, and that's what the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence were geared towards. But, you know, we've come to a point where it's disregarded, just like God is disregarded. And like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. What's going on now has been going on for eons, and that's why the founding fathers wrote this. Just like Thomas Jefferson, he had said, those who give up freedom for security deserve neither.
Yeah, that's very true. That those that don't follow the word. Okay, so as Ben said, you know, and it's very important to look at that, is that the Declaration did have at minimum four references to God in its making. You know, these people came from many different backgrounds also, and different ways of following God. You know, some, you know, followed one way, some followed another, but they all believed in the Bible. They all believed in the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And this is not a founding father, but a very good president, I believe, Ronald Reagan said, the founding fathers understood, so he was talking about the founding fathers, that by making government the servant, not the master, only by positioning sovereignty in the people, now listen to this carefully, in the people and not the state, can we hope to protect freedom. In 1776, the source of government excess was the crown's abuse of power in its attempt to suffocate the colonists with its overbearing demands. In our own day, the danger of too much state power has taken the subtler but no less dangerous form. Is that so too? And Reagan said that a bunch of years ago. A bunch of years ago. It's 1980, so it's, you know, 40 years ago, around 40 years ago. Okay, so making government, he said making government the servant, not the master. Oh, okay, and read that next part. In 1776, the source of the government excess was the crown's abuse of power. So they fought against the crown of that king that wanted to do all these horrible things to the colonists. And he's very correct in saying, in our own day, the danger of too much state power has taken a subtler but no less dangerous form. That's what we have in our government today. State, federal, is definitely too dangerous. Okay? When the federal is mandating, you know, relationships, when the federal is mandating that you can't have gas stoves in your home, or, you know, as we talked about last week, fire burning, you know, wood burning stoves to make pizza in New York City. That's exactly what Reagan was talking about, because he was quoting the founding fathers. And that's what we need to understand, because America has no peace anymore. It has no shalom. It has, you know, all the different things we talked about. Okay, so let's go a little bit more. Let's go back to 1835. Gustave de Beaumont, a contemporary of Alexis de Tocqueville, wrote in Marie au l'esclavage aux estafas unis, I have seen a meeting of the Senate in Washington open with prayer. And the anniversary festival of the Declaration of Independence consists in the United States of an entirely religious ceremony. Imagine if that were to happen today, that we open in prayer and proclaim Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord of America, and if you don't like it, leave it, go someplace else. And imagine having an entire religious ceremony in the Congress and the Senate. And then, you know, imagine, you know, having worship in the Oval Office, not the worship of who's sitting at the desk, but worship of God. Imagine singing praise. Imagine doing the Shema from the Oval Office. Imagine doing the Aaronic Benediction from the Oval Office. Imagine having a Bible study in the Oval Office, but not just studying it, believing in God and asking Him to be once again in charge of our nation. I mean, that's what Gustave de Beaumont, he found in 1835, that what they were doing, there was still God in this nation. And there is no God anymore. You know, isn't this amazing? I mean, Ben, you were mentioning it before, so add to it again about what this guy said in 1835, opening a prayer and religious ceremony in the government. And, you know, you have the judicial branch wanting so much to destroy this in our nation today.
Well, you know, I come from an era such as you when we were children in public school. We'd open up with the Our Father. Then we'd do the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, patriotism was instilled in every child in public education. Even in Catholic school, you had the Our Father, you know, the Hail Mary, but then you had the Pledge of Allegiance, you know. And slowly but surely, those who don't believe in God have tried to eliminate God from every facet of our lives, and that is what's spiraling us into this abyss of despair, because where there's God, there's peace. Where God doesn't exist, there's chaos. I mean, look, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, you know, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. He had to speak out to create order from the chaos, you know? But if we eliminate that completely, all we're going to see is like this guy who was it that said that if we lose the Constitution, we lose our freedom? What was it? It's on in the previous slide, I think it was. There it goes. That if we lose the Constitution, then all we're going to see is anarchy throughout the world. There's going to be no order because there's no law. And where there's no law, there's chaos. And look what happened to Saddam and Gomorrah. They had no law. They lived by no law. You know, all they wanted to do was perform these sexual acts on Lot's visitors. And what happened? God rained fire and brimstone because a righteous man was crying out because of all the anarchy, of all the unlawfulness that was going on. You know, when we fail to follow God wholeheartedly, okay, we fail ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, and all future generations. We have to come back to the righteousness of God, to the foundation of His Word, you know, and root ourselves in that and, you know, bear fruit so that this way we don't get uprooted and burned like, you know, dead trees, dead wood. We have to wake up because If we don't do something now, the freedoms that we once experienced will never exist for our future generations.
I agree that if we don't act now, and it's something that's very difficult, but we got to become like these men and women and families. I mean, they put their families on the line. I mean, these men were protectors, and they put everything on the line, because if they lost, they lost their livelihoods, they lost their homes, they lost their fortunes, and not just themselves would go to jail. Their families would go to jail. Not with them. I mean, and you didn't want to be, as today, I mean, nobody really wants to be in jail. But a woman back then, without her covering, there would be some awful things that happened. So Samuel Adams, when he was 54 years old, he was one of the old men that signed the Declaration. He said, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun." Sounds like a Paul Wilbur song. "Let his kingdom come." Okay, so here it is. This man who signed the Declaration. So any fool who says that America was not founded on God did not read any of what the founding fathers wrote. So look at that. He signed the Declaration of Independence, and he wrote this: "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient." Okay, so how do we be obedient? Well, we got to follow the laws of God. We got to follow all them. Not just say we got to go back to God. That's what a lot of people are saying. You know, America's rabbi John Kahn is saying, we need to return to God. Well, how? Following the 613 laws. He says, God says, eat this, don't eat this. God says, worship my holy days, not your holy days. He says, men should have beards. Okay? He says, married women should cover their head. Okay? There's so many things. And he also said, honor your mother and father. He also said, don't lie, cheat, steal, covet. Okay? He says a lot of good things that we should live our lives by. And that's what Samuel Adams was talking about. We have this day. He's talking about this when he signed the Declaration of Independence. This day that we have restored America, that land that was given to them, to the sovereign. Okay, he's talking about, okay, some of these terms, you need to understand it in a time when it was written. Because back then they had vocabulary, okay? People today have zero vocabulary compared to the time when this was written. Okay, the sovereign who? Not to the sovereign king of England, to the sovereign God of all the universe. Because if you read the next sentence, he reigns in heaven, and from the rising of to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come. Okay, so Samuel Adams was writing this. Okay, so anybody who says that the founders were not godly men really don't understand these people and what they put on the line. So let's go to another one. John Jay, and you've heard me mention him a bunch of times, was the president of the Continental Congress between 1778 and 1779, and later nominated by George Washington to be the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And he was the first Chief Justice. He wasn't just nominated. He was the first Chief Justice in 1777. The Americans are the first people whom heaven has favored with an opportunity of choosing the forms of government under which they should live. All other constitutions have derived their existence from violence and accidental circumstances. Your lives, your liberties, your prosperity will be at the disposal only of your Creator and yourselves. So Here's the first Chief Justice. Imagine if he would say this. The liberals on the judicial system, their heads would spin off. You know, Nancy Pelosi, they would say, get rid of him, kill him. Okay. This is what the judicial system was all about. Because you can have a righteous system. You can't have laws unless you have God. Because then, if you remove God and his word, you just can't say God, you have to say and his word from the judicial system, then it's only the strong will survive. Or the mob rules, okay? So here he says, the Americans are the first people whom heaven has favored with an opportunity of choosing the forms of government under which they should live. Why is he saying the first people? Because Israel really didn't have a choice. God chose them, so they didn't have a choice. But America was choosing this form of government. Choosing and saying, look at the bottom there, will be at the disposal only of your creator and yourself. All of the constitutions have derived their existence from violence. Study your history. I mean, you know, people rise up with violence or accidental circumstances. But your lives, your liberty, your property will be at the disposal only of your creator and yourself. So we have Samuel Adams saying the sovereign, let kingdom come. And then we got the disposal of your creator. You know, Ben, what is something that's really amazing is this, what these men chose, what their families went along with. And, you know, they chose as family units, as people, you know, they were going to fight the largest empire. They did fight the largest empire on the planet, as we read earlier. And you don't get to be the largest empire on the planet without being ruthless. I mean, wars are, you're not trying to gain friends. You're trying to get their land and their resources. So we got these two things you could speak about, Ben. Samuel Adams and the sovereign, and let this kingdom come, or what the first Chief Justice said. What do you think about either one of these subjects? I mean, the world, America is certainly not these people any longer.
Well, this definitely doesn't exist in today's America. John Jay, I knew John Jay because my cousin went to a college named after him. But I didn't know that he was the first justice of the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. But once again, these people, you can clearly see that these people were God-fearing. These people knew that, you know, it's God first above all else. You know, this is the vision that we have lost for America. No longer do we see God and his word first. What we see first are the 80-inch televisions, the latest the latest Xbox, you know, the latest PlayStations, this Teslas, the latest Bugattis. Everything has to be a status symbol. You know, we've lost humility. We've lost the work that we lost the act of working for our necessities. And all we work for now is for our wants. There's no longer, I need this, it's I want this, you know? And the more that we move away from the foundation, from our spiritual foundation, which is the Tanakh and the Brit Hadashah, we lose touch with our spiritual side. You know, we become slaves to our desires versus being servants to the living God. We chase dead gods, gods that can't respond to you. Like it was written, and I believe it was Jeremiah, that they have eyes they cannot see, they have mouths they cannot speak, they have feet they can't walk, you know. But yet, you know, these are the things that we'd rather worship than worship the living God, you know. When Hashem, God, rescued us from Egypt, from slavery in Egypt, he did so with a mighty hand. And okay, well, I think it was the first five plagues, the Egyptian magicians were able to duplicate it, but then God said, oh, I got something else for them. Boom. Number six, you can't replicate that one. Number seven, number eight, they couldn't even save Pharaoh's firstborn from the last plague, you know, which, you know, at that time, Israel, they worshiped God, you know. Granted, you had your two or three in there that were still, you know, idol worshipers, because if we didn't, then we would have never heard them say that, you know, well, we were in when we were in Egypt, we ate leeks and onions and we had food, you know. But when we lose sight of where we're originally from, we blindly follow the road to destruction. And these men, okay, Ronald Reagan, to me, was one of the greatest presidents of all time. These men put their lives on the line so that we have the freedom today to say, I don't want to do that. I don't have to do that. You know, I don't like that. If they would have never stepped up and defeated or chased out the British, we would have been just like every other country in this world. You know, in Cuba, you can't say anything about the dictator over there because you'll pay, you know. And there's spies on every corner, listening to everything that you say and watching everything that you do. At least here, it's kind of the same now, but we still have certain freedoms. You have the freedom to become a millionaire here. You have the freedom to open up your own business here. You have the freedom to buy whatever car you want to buy. Pretty soon, if we continue at this rate, those little freedoms that we enjoy, they're gone. And they'll be gone forever, because once you move that boundary stone, there's no moving it back.
Yeah, it's definitely that once you move that boundary stone, you never can put it back, or it's going to take some tremendous work. And we've never, in modern history and throughout human history, it doesn't happen unless God chastises you. But what we need to look at here, because we're going to look at another statement from Reagan talking about the founding fathers, is these men had forethought and foresight. Maybe it's almost like prophetic, as the church likes to say, prophetic, you know, but they were warning us because they saw these things happening. Look what Reagan stated in 1961. This is when I think he was governor of California. In the country of ours took place the greatest revolution that has ever taken place in the world's history. Every other revolution simply exchanged one set of rulers for another. Here, for the first time in all these thousands of years of man's relationship to man, the founding fathers established the idea that you and I had within ourselves the God-given right and ability to determine our own destiny. So he's saying, you know, a God-given right. God gives you the opportunity, you know, and this is a very correct statement, because all you have to do is look at, you know, John Yochanan chapter 3. You must be born again. You have to choose. Okay? It's your right and your ability to determine your own destiny. It's up to you to choose what you want to do. But Reagan said this in 61 before he was president, before he was before he might have been governor, but I'm not positive. But you know, look at the yellow there. Here, for the first time in all the thousands of years of man's relationship to man, the founding fathers established the idea that you and I had within ourselves the God-given right and ability to determine our own destiny. Has there always been bad people? Yes, there has always been bad people. But the good outweighed the bad. The God-fearers outweighed the evil. Have there been some pure evil people like the people that we see today? Yes. There's always been, you know, this, you know, cabal. Yeah, that's always been around from, you know, since the time Satan, when jealousy was found inside of him. Okay? So, this has always been something from the time of the building of the Tower of Babel. Okay? So now, after thousands of years, Reagan was saying that we have to give God-given right and ability. But we need to go back to following God's rules. All of them. Okay? Now, you don't have to follow the ones for the temple. Okay? If you're a woman, a real woman with ovaries, okay, and a uterus, okay, not what you think that you have, but that you can see on an x-ray or prove, okay, you only have to follow the laws that apply to you. And yes, all the laws apply to both Jew and Gentile. Okay, let's take a look. Let's go back to Calvin Coolidge. Stated on July 5th, 1926, the principles which went into the Declaration of Independence are found in the sermons of the early colonial clergy. They preached equality because they believed in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. They justified freedom by the text that we are all created in the divine image. Okay? Now you got a lot of people saying, well, there were slaves. Yeah, there's slaves in the Bible. Okay? You lose a war, you become boute. Okay? And, you know, the black tribes in Africa were fighting the black tribes, and the ones that won sold off their boute. Okay? Now, once you become a believer in Yeshua, you move from a Gentile into part of being the part of the spiritual family, and then you can only be a slave for 7 years, then you got to be given freedom. But let's come back to the topic of tonight's show. The sermons of the early colonial clergy that preached equality because they believed that in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, they justified freedom by the text that we are all created in the divine image. Everybody is created in the divine image of Elohim, of the Father and Son and the Ruach HaKodesh. And we have that in Genesis 1:26, Bereshit 1:26. Let us make man in our image. So here Calvin Coolidge was stating that. Let me just bring up the last part. And finally, we'll bring it to the real president of the United States, President Donald Trump, explain the left's identity theft of America's history, and yet there was a growing danger that threatens every blessing our ancestors fought so hard for, struggled, they bled to secure. Our nation is witnessing the merciless campaign to wipe out our history, defame our heroes, erase our values, and indoctrinate our children. What we should be indoctrinating our children in is the following of God's word. So I agree with President Trump. We have an identity theft. Okay? Somebody has stolen America. We've given up our right to follow God. We've given up our shalom, our peace. Okay? John Jay said, all the laws that we make must be held up against the scriptures. And he wasn't just talking about the New Testament. He was talking about the Tanakh, the Old Testament, the Torah, and the Brit Hanashah, the New Testament. So our blessing, you know, every blessing our ancestors fought so hard for. He's right. We've let it go, Ben. We've let it go. So, you know, this is powerful stuff that we're bringing to the show this week and to the world. What do you think about what Trump said?
Well, I mean, Trump, you know, Trump is one of the most hated figures in all of America. And strictly because, you know, he stands up for the truth. He stands up for the Bible. He stands up for God's word. You know, is he perfect? No, by no means. The only one perfect is Yeshua. But, you know, I dare ask, are any of these other politicians perfect? No. You know, but he is saying truth. You know, the identity theft of America's history is, you know, perpetrated by the extreme left. I mean, there's only one left, and they're all extreme. But we have to forget about left and right, forget about Democrat and Republican. What we need to do is we need to come together for the good of our fellow man and do what's right in the eyes of God. You know, we need to come back to the foundation of his word, to the foundation of his righteousness, to the foundation of his mercy and his grace. You know, without that, we're nothing. And if you can't see that on a daily basis through what's happening here in America, then you're blind. Because when Trump was president, all we saw was BLM ransacking Target, all these major chain stores, and nobody doing anything. Now you wonder why everything is so expensive? Somebody's got to pay for all that. And the people who have to pay for that are us, the Americans. You know, us who want to enjoy the freedoms. You know, if you want to give up your freedom, that's your choice. But don't impose your decision on me. You know, and that's what our founding fathers fought for us to make our individual decisions. But we've handed over the scepter to this government, you know, that is so corrupt and power hungry. There's no end to their desire. You know, when everybody is working to support them, you're going to think back on this, on these days, and be like, we should have done something. Could have, should have, would have. That's too late. You have to do something now. We need to return and repent. We need to come back to the foundation of country was, and it's one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That is very true. One nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. We need to get back, and what we really need to understand, and I especially for those that have come here from other nations, you should understand how blessed that you are, that you left your other nations to a nation that once was blessed. But you can be part of the blessing instead of being part of the curse. Yes, we have the right to choose, and that is even everybody's choice. We read that tonight from all the different leaders of our nation and different people. We read that you have a choice to make. But we need to outnumber those that want to destroy our nation. We need to be stronger in our beliefs. We need to push back hard when somebody says that we don't have a godly nation. We need to make it a godly nation. And where it starts is with every individual adult, every parent, every father that needs to run his home by the word of God. But if you're not following God, then nobody else in your house will, because you're supposed to be the example. Trump was correct. These people fought and bled for that we should have freedom. They put it all on the line, just like our Messiah. And when he wanted the cup taken from him, he said to his Father in heaven, "Not my will, but your will be done." We need to get back to following the word of God. We need to follow the laws that apply to us. And there's a lot of them. And God promised that if we did, there would be great blessings. The founding fathers knew that. And this has been the most blessed nation, more blessed than even Israel, for a long time. Israel would walk with God, then they'd get prosperous, and then forget all about God again. We need to follow God in spirit and in truth, in heart, soul, and strength. We need to understand what those people did before us, and even all those that fought in the wars, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the Indian Wars, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, every little place that an American soldier has served. We need to understand that they were fighting for our freedoms. Not the freedom to cut your private parts off, the freedom to worship God. Well, you've been listening to The Remnant's Call, The Sledgehammer Show. Until next week, Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom. This is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman. I would personally like to thank you for tuning in to The Remnant's Call each and every week. You can listen to the full message on our website, bethgoyim.org. If you have drawn closer to the King of Kings, learned more about Him today, we are blessed. If you are blessed by these messages, please consider a donation to our ministry. You can go to our website, bethgoyim.org. That's bethgoyim.org, and click on the donate button. You do not have to have a PayPal account to donate. All you need is a debit card. Once again, thank you very much for listening to The Remnant's Call.
If you have not taken your first steps to be born again, just ask God's help. Remember, it's His loving grace that has come to find you. No one is worthy or able to reach God, but God can reach us, and He's reaching out to you now. Just open your heart and let Him in. His arms are open, and the blessing of salvation and eternal life are waiting for you. Don't let it wait any longer.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift His face and shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you His shalom.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman, and I invite you to come to visit our congregation. If you are in the tri-state area, come out and visit with us on Shabbat. We are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles living as one in the Messiah Yeshua.
BGMC is a place of true worship. The focus never wanders from the Hebraic roots of our faith. Beth Goyim is rooted in the Word of God from Bereshit through to the book of Revelation. Messiah's strong words against man-made tradition are carefully recorded in Matthew 7. That is the reason we only follow the straight-up instructions found in Scripture, truly the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for a deeper walk with Adonai, come out for our Tuesday evening Bible study called Messianic Torah Time. Come, spend a day with us on any Shabbat. We start at 11 a.m. with the sound of the ancient Hebrew shofar. Next, we offer our King praise and worship in English, Hebrew, and Spanish. After worship, we review the headlines in the previous week's news from around the globe, especially news from the Holy Land Israel. We don't just list the news headlines as current events, but we comb through the scriptures, searching for clues to understand what they mean and then to help pinpoint prophetically our current position on Adonai's clock. After digesting all that modern information, we leave the world behind as we journey with our Adonai deep into his eternal word, not with just one or two scriptures, but usually seven or more scriptures. The spiritual nourishment and the richness of his kingdom become accessible to the ones who share this special time and seek them out. The day does not end there. Because Shabbat is so special to him, there is always so much more that our King desires to share. So instead of separating and leaving, we stay together as a family for potluck lunch and an afternoon study of our King's Word. We close the Shabbat together with a reading of the new week's parasha. That's the Torah portion. Even after those blessings, many of us just can't get enough. So the members bring prepared homemade foods to share while we all enjoy an uplifting movie together. If all that information is not quite enough, you can check out our website where you will find over 200 video teachings and biblical holy day studies. Under Messianic Torah Time, the Hebrew Roots button, you'll discover free studies on many, many different topics, including PowerPoint slide presentations. If Beth Goyim sounds like a place you'd love to visit, but you live outside the tri-state area, there is still a way to connect with us. We stream live on the internet on Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbat. The website is www.bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. Our phone number is 973-338-7800 or 978-2-YESHUA. That's 978, the number 2, Yeshua. Shalom.